Let's pray. Father God, you weren't kidding when you said that all of this belongs to you. You weren't kidding when you said that we are not our own, we've been bought with a price. That is truth. That is how the kingdom works. And would you speak through me and Tim today as we tell the story of how that works? We commit this meeting to you and ask for your blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to tell you a story today. And we will hopefully have time for questions. I hope to create some. We started Tetra Corporation 40 years ago. We are a high-tech R&D company. I have a sign above my door, a quote by Albert Einstein, given to me by my son-in-law, that says if we knew what we were doing, it wouldn't be called research. So most of the time, we don't know what we're doing. We are profoundly dependent upon God to provide us the wisdom and to answer specifically the incredible technical questions we have. That's how the company works. Our 9 o'clock prayer time is a key part of how we accomplish what God has for us to do. It's amazing to see that dependence on Him in science and technology. I've been interested in science since I was, junior high. And so God has specifically wired me to do this. We started Tetra as a company for Christ. Let me disrupt things just a little bit. I achieved that, didn't I? There we go. We started Tetra 40 years ago as a company for Christ. That's a whole nother story. I wouldn't say we jumped into it as much as we were pushed into it by the Lord. And we already had a vision for it. 5 years prior, a year after I came to Christ, I had read God Owns My Business by Stanley Tam and Mover of Men and Mountains by R.G. Letourneau. And I told God that if He would ever have me have my own business, I'd want to run it as a company for Christ for Him. And so He took us up on that offer 40 years ago. So we started out having a vision for running a company for Christ. But we didn't have any idea how to do that until we connected with FCCI 20 years ago. It was like a light coming on in a dark room for us. Literally, a light coming on in a dark room. We just had no concept of how to do what we were called to do. And God is the one who made that happen. This passage from that I quoted in my prayer time from 1 Corinthians 6 is really key. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. That at salvation, God purchased us. That we often miss that. We often think that Christ paid the price for our sins so that we could go and live in heaven with God. And that's certainly true, but that is only a small piece of what that's all about. A major part is a life-for-life exchange. That at salvation, Christ gave His life for ours. So we've been purchased. And the teaching in our core curriculum in FCCI, leading a company for Christ, is huge in communicating this. Bruce does an amazingly good job of communicating this point. It's not my company. Christ owns the company. It's not mine. I do not own the business. I am a steward of the business. And so this is part of that light coming on when we joined FCCI in 97. We said, it's not my company. I don't own it. Not only do I not own it, but Christ is intimately interested in it. That's something else. Sometimes we think that, well, my business is over here, and my relationship with Christ and my ministry is over here. That's right out of the pit of hell. Scripture does not teach a sacred secular divide. Christ is interested in everything we do, and everything we do matters forever. God purchased us. He included the business. So our part of that, merely there more, our part of that is to recognize his authority. It's not a case of our giving him the business. He already owns it. He purchased the business with a really high price. I don't think we have any comprehension of how high that price was. So it's not an issue of giving him the business. He already owns a business. It's an issue of recognize his authority and releasing our attempted control over the business. You ever had an employee who pushed back against your authority on a regular basis? Probably one of the worst decisions I ever made was to not let such an employee go sooner. Because if he will not submit to your authority, he cannot be part of your team. Same applies here. For our to be part of the team God has formed on the company, we've got to recognize who's in charge. So it's not an issue of giving God the company or he owns it. It's an issue of releasing our attempted control over what he owns and getting on his agenda for his company. Now, there are a few things that go with ownership. How many of you are business owners? One of the things that goes with business ownership is you get to choose who leads it. Well, since God owns the business and he owns your business and he owns Tetra Corporation, he gets to choose who he wants to run it. That trusting him and obeying him in every aspect of the business is what matters more than anything else. I've become convinced that there are only two things that matter in the Christian life. We make it really complicated in our culture. I'm convinced there's only two things that matter, that we are to trust God and we're to obey God. Jesus said that the greatest commandment was that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And then Jesus turns around and in John 14 says three times, if you love me, you'll obey me. So we love God by obeying him. It's not a warm, gushy feeling. It's not roses. It's obedience. So the only two things that matter, to trust God and to obey God. And that matters in a massive way in our businesses. Do I trust him to run the business? He bought it. He bought it at a very expensive price. Do I trust him to run it? Do I trust him to run my life? When I gave my life to Christ, do I trust him to actually run it and to run it in a way that's actually good? You know, we kind of talk about Christ as Lord, but you can't tell your Lord no. You can't do that. This matters. Trusting him and obeying him matters. I tell my students of the three transitions of salvation, surrender, and death, the most important transition is surrender. When you get to the point that you release control of everything in your life to God, that's when life really begins. Because now God can do anything he chooses through you and through me without us squabbling with him over it. Surrender matters the most. Trusting and obeying him matters more than anything else. It is the key to our life on earth, and I am convinced our key to our life in eternity. We're taught in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We're practicing for heaven here, folks. Practicing here for heaven. Building the relationship with God through prayer is key in determining what he wants to do with his business. You know, if a company, Germany, bought Tetra Corporation, I would need to be connecting with them daily to see what they want to do with the company they purchased. Well, that's an exact model of this. God bought the company. He bought all the assets of the company. Everything in the company he owns. And so my number one job, and now I share that with Tim, is going to him and determining what he wants to do with his business. The time of prayer in the morning, the time of focused prayer, time with him, matters more than anything else. It's his. It's his company. And the key question is, what do you want to do with your business? We are stewards. We don't own it. Now, I did not understand how important this was going to be in this transition. We joined in 97. First thing that happened back in those days, long time ago, another galaxy far away, we got a little packet of cassette tapes. Does anybody remember cassette tapes? Hard to even find a player anymore. And the first two tapes in that packet were Bruce Wilkinson's course, Leading Company for Christ. And Mary Lee and I went through that together at a time of crisis in the company. And that teaching of Bruce, that it's not your company, you don't own it, you are a steward, was huge, 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 huge. I don't know how many times I've been through that course, a lot, because I actually use it in two of the classes I teach. I don't know how many times I've been through that. Every time I go through that course, I'm challenged again. Every time. It's not an issue of giving the company to God, as I said earlier. It's an issue of releasing control to him of the company he has already purchased. And that course of Bruce Wilkinson's deeply challenged me in that. And as God often does, he has challenged me in numerous other ways with numerous other courses in the same issue. The issue is, God owns the business, it is his business, and he has the right to run it the way he wishes. Releasing control, giving up trying to control something that doesn't belong to me, and releasing it to the owner is key. And I did not understand in 1997 how important that was. So 6 or 7 years ago, a dear friend of mine who is on our board of advisors, we've had a board of advisors for Tetra for 20 or 25 years. And this person, Jim, had actually worked for us for a while and now serves on our board, lives in Tucson. Jim is one of the most creative thinking outside the box people I know, and he loves me enough to challenge me hard. And you want to make sure every advisor on your board of advisors loves you enough to ask the hard questions and tell you the things you don't want to hear. Otherwise, he's not doing his job. And Jim did. Jim said, "Bill, do you have a succession plan?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, you need to, and you need to report to this board every meeting on how you're coming with it." So I started working on a succession plan. What does that look like? How would we actually do that? How would the pieces fit? And then, about 3.5 years ago, God, through a very close friend, introduced me to Tim Rourke. And we started discussions about Tim coming aboard to fill the role of president. God had stirred Tim's heart to be seeking something new and connected us. It took 4 or 5 months. Neither of us were interested in jumping into this. We walked carefully down this road. Tim met with our board of advisors. I try very hard not to do anything of significance without my board agreeing that it's right, because I expect God to speak through them. The number one thing I expect out of our board of advisors is for God to speak through them. So we met with the board. Tim and I spent time together. Our families met, because if we were going to be proceeding down this road as partners, we were going to spend a lot of time together. And so then Tim joined Tetra with the idea that we would be on a four-year training program for Tim to be equipped to take the role of president. The number one issue when you're making this kind of transition is not the technical skills. Tim had lots of management experience. The number one issue is vision. When you have a transition in leadership, you need to make sure that there's not a transition in vision. It matters more than anything else. We could spend the rest of the day talking about companies that have failed because they hired someone as president who did not grasp, understand, or share the vision. My alma mater for my undergraduate work does not exist anymore for exactly that reason. Vision matters more than anything else. The number one job of a CEO of a company is keeper of the vision. That's their number one job. Never hire somebody because of his administrative or technical skills. You can go buy those anywhere. You hire a CEO for his grasp of the vision, his passion for the vision. That matters more than anything else. And so that's why we laid out a four-year plan. It wasn't that Tim needed to learn skills. It was that Tim and I needed to be sure that we shared the vision. And so after a little more than 2.5 years, just under 3 years, it became clear to both of us that Tim shared the vision. So we mentioned to our board in November last year that it looked like that was happening, that Tim was really grabbing the vision. It wasn't going to take 4 years. And they said, you need to set a date. So we did. We set a date of May 19th, our board meeting. And I stepped down as president into the role of chief scientist, and Tim stepped into the role of president. And what has struck me about that transition is that it had its roots back in 1997 when Bruce Wilkinson, through the course Leading Company for Christ, challenged me that, Bill, it's not your business. You don't own the business. It's God's business. You are a steward of the business. So because I'm a steward, I then go to the Father and say, what do you want to do with your business? And what he said was, I want Tim to run the business. You work on science. You let Tim run the business. So we did that. Both of us, part of the vision is that both of us are very committed to submitting to his authority. And it's a joy working with Tim because he continually reminds me of that. We work back and forth like that, and that's what it is, because the adversary will try to take this down if he can. Our board meeting was on the 19th. We made the transition in leadership on May 19th, and then the following Monday, I had bought a Bible, a nice Bible, imprinted at Tetra Corporation. We had a ceremony in front of our employees and some of our board members of the transition of leadership, and we wanted something physical to illustrate it, and so I handed the corporate Bible from me to Tim, symbolizing the change in authority. It was very important to make the step. The most important part of the change is obedience. God said, this is what needs to be done. And so we have done that. I'd like Tim to share his perspective for a minute. And then we'll talk some more about this, and then I'll answer some questions.
Hi, I'm Tim. I think my perspective is why is it working? I believe it's working because Bill and Mary Lee have connected the head and the heart to the scripture. So that are plotted in 116. For by him all things were created, both heavens and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things as it created through him for him. You go look up that word all in the Greek, that's past, little tiny word, wasn't meaning means everything. Nothing, there's nothing outside of it. Everything is owned by God. And Phil and Mary Lee believe in their heart that it is God. And if it's God, you can turn it loose. Because it's still God's. It'll always be God's. And it's easy for me to accept that because I know it's God's and he's going to give me direction. He's going to give me the vision to take his company where he wants his company to go.
The only other key.
And Phil had both of these charts that stands out to me is it's all about prayer. So we need that. We're meeting right now in Albuquerque praying for our company and what we're doing today in 2 minutes. Whole company gets together, we start our morning in prayer. What are we doing today? Who are we giving thanks to for what he's doing? And then Bill didn't mention, we also meet every afternoon. And I thought it was really to talk about the issues we had, what's going on now. It's really to pray for the company. So we meet every afternoon to pray again for the company, and I believe that's why we're successful.
Yeah.
That's why this transition is smooth. That's why we're have the same vision. It's because it's God's company. He's providing all the leaders. I'm merely the shepherd.
Good. 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 Thanks, Tim. Thanks. Wanted you to hear it from him so you wouldn't know it was just smoke. That's really key. You see, one of the things God showed me as we were moving into this transition is that the success or failure of the transition was largely in my lap. Sometimes you hear of someone hiring a president, but they never give him the authority to do the job. We've heard those stories in the community. And sometimes you will hear of someone hiring a president, but then they fight him every step of the way because he's not doing it their way. I'll tell you right now, Tim doesn't do it my way. He does it better than I did. And I could spend the next 15 minutes illustrating for you better strategies, better techniques, better grasp of the vision than I had. And that's good. And I knew that going in that Tim wouldn't do it my way. And that's a good thing. But you see, the point is, Tim does it God's way. That's what we spent 2.5 years working on. Is both of us coming to that conviction that we shared the same vision, and most of all, we serve the same master. So he doesn't need to do it my way, he needs to do it God's way. And that's why the transition works. We both are serving the same master. We're both doing the best we know how to seek that from God. We pray a lot. We pray a lot individually. We pray a lot corporately. We don't pray a lot because it's a duty. We don't pray a lot because it's a discipline. We pray a lot out of desperation. Running a company for Christ is an impossible proposition. We do not have the power as human beings to do that on our own. We absolutely do not have that power. Running a company for Christ that is on the absolute frontiers of technology, doing things that had never done before, makes it doubly difficult. So we are going to the Father every morning individually and then corporately, saying, okay, what do we do next? How do we solve this problem? This problem seems really huge. How do we solve it? We need this resource. You promised in your word that if we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, you'll provide all things to us. Well, we're asking for that. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so the Son can bring glory to the Father. In my name means we are representing Christ when we ask that. We're asking according to his will, his purposes, his ways, and his character. And he tells us in that passage that the reason that he answers prayer is for glory to come to the Father. Catch that. The reason Jesus answers prayer is for glory to come to the Father. It is very important. And so we've had two major answers to prayer in the last few weeks, and several smaller ones. So last night, Mary Lee and Tim and I went out to dinner to eat a meal before the Lord and praise him for what he's done. Tim's wife, Darcy, was not able to come because we had a teenager crisis at home. Any of you ever had a teenager crisis at home? I think everybody that has had kids has had a teenage crisis at home. So it is so important that we give honor to God, that we give praise to him. We do that corporately. Our annual Christmas party is actually in November. And Mary Lee and the team call it our annual Thanksgiving party because during that evening, I spend about 45 minutes reciting the God stories. The stories of where we had this problem and God stepped in and provided this solution. This problem, this solution. This problem, this solution. We invite our employees, we invite our vendors, we invite our board. Not everybody that attends knows the Lord, but they hear the God stories. Because that's an important part of who we are and how we represent Christ in the marketplace. Is being very intentional about giving him the glory for what he has done. The sooner we release control, the better. It's not an issue of giving God the business. He already owns it. The reason that I had difficulty in that first 20 years in running the business well was that there was a conflict in who was going to run the company between me and God. It wasn't an issue of ownership. It was an issue of who was in control. And when we joined FCCI and began to understand that God owns the business, that conflict went away. There's only one person in charge of the company. That makes all the difference. In South Africa, we've got several groups in South Africa, and they had a ceremony a few years ago where they grasped, the folks in several of the groups grasped this, and they had a ceremony of signing a document that legally transferred ownership of the company to God. In South Africa, the laws are such they can do that. And they had a big ceremony of signing those documents together as a group, each one signing the document that legally transferred control of the company to God. Well, we're not set up that way in our culture, in this country. But it's nonetheless an important thing. And it's an important thing to not only submit to his authority, but to do so in a way that you're accountable for it. Board of Advisors is a wonderful way. Do it before your employees, however it works. Have someone hold you accountable to that. Because God owns the business, he gets to choose his leadership. And that's fundamentally what succession planning is all about. It's not an issue of finding someone who's competent to run the business. There are lots of people competent to run whatever business you have. It's finding someone who shares the vision for the company and who shares, most importantly, the vision that God owns the business. You do not want a successor who thinks it's his business. I don't care how much stock you give him. It will never be his business. It's God's business. And so if you're transitioning leadership in your business, this is the most important thing of all. You need to make sure you have settled that issue with God first. Then you need to make sure your successor has settled that issue. And don't move down that transition road until those two are dealt with. Don't kick the can down the road. Deal with it. It's most important. It really is. It's not an issue of does God own the business? He already does. The issue is, are you going to stop squabbling with him about who's running it? And you've got to deal with that, and then you've got to make sure that your new president has dealt with that also, so that everybody's in alignment. This is critical. This is the key thing. God gets to choose his senior leadership. You can't ask him the question of what he wants to do with the business if you're not sticking around long enough to hear the answer. It's not complicated. If you're serious about your relationship with God, if you're serious about running a company for Christ, you will not be able to accomplish the business you need to accomplish with God each morning in less than an hour. You cannot. If your prayer life is 15 minutes, you've not yet grasped that God owns a business. Sorry for the bad news. And if you're serious about running your company for Christ, it will take you at least an hour and perhaps two to do business with him. Charles Spurgeon suggested that prayer is doing business with God, and I think that that is an excellent model. And so if you're going to be dealing with God, if you're going to be running a company for Christ, if you are going to be the hired hand God has appointed to run the business he's entrusted to you, you've got to have time with him every morning. There is no substitute. Some people tell me, well, I'm praying with God all day. Wrong. You have to be focused in that time with him for it to work. Some people say, well, how can I tell when God's speaking to me? How do I know it's God? Well, Marilyn and I have been married 52 years. Amazing that she's put up with me that long. We have found several key things in that marriage. When she calls me on the phone, I don't have to ask who this is, because I know her voice. And that's exactly what you're working for with God. You want to spend time in scriptures every day. You want to look not just at what the scripture says, but look through the scripture to see God. Look through the scripture to know God. And you want to become so familiar with him, you want to become so familiar with who he is, that when he speaks to you, you know it was God and you know what he said. And you need to have decided before you ask the question that you will obey whatever he told you to do. God does not give advice, he only commands. So the key to running a company for Christ is the time of prayer with God. You need to know what he wants to do. You need to make absolutely sure that any strategic decision you're making is his decision. That's absolutely key. So those are the key points. Stop squabbling with God about who owns a business. Come to grips with the fact that he owns a business and could do anything he wants with it. Release control of the business to him and build an intimate relationship with God. And it's got to be focused. We still, after 52 years, have a date night every week. Why do we have a date night? Because our marriage doesn't function if we don't have focused communication. And the same is true with God. Your relationship with God is not going to function unless you have focused time with him. Read biographies and autobiographies of great men and women of the faith, and you will see that thread through every one of them. God deals powerfully through people who love him enough to spend time with him and who obey him. It's not complicated. Renee tells me I've got 5 minutes left, so we got time for one or two questions.
Is there any steps along the way that you would have done differently? Any hiccups?
In 40 years? Or in the transition?
In the transition. That you did or didn't do that you would have done differently?
I don't think so. Tim, do you think of anything we would have done differently?
No.
I don't think so. But I'll tell you this, if it hadn't been for the training we received through FCCI, we would have messed it up big time. But I don't think there's anything we would have done differently. Prayer is the key. Being on God's agenda is the key. Making sure you don't do anything that's not what He wants is the key. And then He'll direct your paths. He's promised to do it. Good question. Other questions? Pat?
Mary Lee played a big part in Tetra for many years.
Absolutely.
How was her transition out of the company? How did it affect the plan?
I could give a long answer. I won't. But she retired a little over a year ago. And to focus more time on beekeeping and ducks. And she still maintains a role in the company. She's still the corporate secretary. She attends the board meetings. And she's a member of the board of advisors and continues very much in that advisory role. But she also went through the process of transitioning her role in the company to others. Renee is one of those that Mary Lee has transitioned her role to. Yeah, good question. Other questions? Yes, sir.
Do you still own the stock of the company? Are you transferring it over or had to or something?
It's, let me give you, I'll try to give a quick summary and then you can catch me in the hallway. I'll give you more details. We're inventing something really new that is going to be used by another company. And they're going to be manufacturing the product and offering the service. We own the intellectual property. So we have transferred all that intellectual property into another company we call SDG. And our game plan as that product hits the marketplace and SDG gains in value, then we're going to title at least 2/3 of SDG to the National Christian Foundation. We worked for a year with NCF to figure out how to do this. And they've been wonderful, wonderful. But that's the game plan, so that the value, the primary value of what we're doing is going to end up in NCF. And by doing it this way, there won't be any tax burden on that. We're going to take part of that we don't give to NCF, and we're setting up another company that is going to fundamentally be an investment house looking for Christian entrepreneurs with good ideas that we can fund initially to get them to the demonstration stage to where they can then attract corporate funding, just like the man did that took us from an idea to demonstration. So then a Fortune 50 company would come and say, we want that. So that's how we're structuring that. We're still in the process of figuring out what to do with the stock at Tetra. Tetra doesn't really have much value. Tetra is an R&D company. Well, the biggest value is that we're now looking for the next invention and the next. And so we don't know the best way to do it, but it, in a real sense, it doesn't matter. The game plan is everything that we do, we don't do anything, we don't do any development unless we own the technology and we can see a clear path to commercialization. That creates a royalty stream that we can then flow into NCF to further work of the Lord. You want to simplify what I said? Okay.
No, it's complicated.
It's complicated, but that's the game plan. Good question. Good question. Hilda.
Is your family, or your direct farm family, involved in the transition?
No. No, not really. I mean, we've set up a trust that is the managing tool for all of this, and our oldest son will be the trustee when God takes me home, when I get to graduate. Our oldest son is a scientist like myself, and he runs a research team at the Applied Research Lab at Penn State. And I obliquely asked him if he would like to come to work at Tetra. Well, it was 5 years ago, Mary Lee. And because you got to do those things really gently. So I didn't ask the question, I just kind of hinted. He said, Dad, God has called me to do this research at Penn State, and what I'm doing is matters. It's important. This is what I need to be doing. Can there be a better answer? So, no, we don't have any of our family directly involved in the company, but Mike will end up being the trustee when I graduate. Did that answer your question? Thank you, Ilda. Yes.
I want to say, first of all, I'm impressed with your heart and your desire to see God's will, and then I'm going to ask you a question that might depend. So remember the first part that I just said.
Fair enough.
Here's what makes me nervous. From your presentation, I get the sense that you've taken yourself out of the decision-making process. So you have a decision, and I love the fact that the time you're spending in prayer, you're seeking God's will. And you said, when you learn to hear, like you hear your wife's voice and hear God's voice close to you, apparently. What happened? Who messed up when you made a dumb decision? Or how did, is that because you didn't, are you still, this is probably more philosophical than you want to be, but are you still a decision maker in your company? Or is it God's making decisions? You got two equal candidates, they're lovely people, they're interviewed by a whole staff, they're both great, there's not a moral right or wrong choice, so going bigger than there. How do you decide? When you've made no decisions, you raised your hand. What did you screw up about?
Usually, most of the dumb decisions were made before releasing control. So most of the dumb decisions were made in the first 20 years of the company. Two things happened pretty close together, and they're related. One of them was that God told me in 1994, God told me, he said, if you want Tetra to grow, you need to spend 2 hours a day in prayer with me. So and I was spending like 15 minutes. So that first 20 years, the relationship with God was not significant. I was studying the Bible, in lots of Bible studies, but I did not have focused time with him in building the relationship. After that, much, much more time, much more focus, much more asking the question and staying around for the answer. And so far fewer dumb decisions once that happened. And then just thinking about it now, it's almost coincident, not quite, because it was 97 that I understood that God owned the company, released control to him. So your question about how do we hire? We are committed to not hiring anybody that God has not selected. And so we have a woman on our staff, Karen Hill, who's our office manager, when we needed an office manager, we contacted a temp agency that we do a lot of our hiring through, and we put the word out, and we had a lot of really good candidates come through the door for 4 months. Now, this is an office manager position. You know, right now, there's probably 20 people in Albuquerque looking for that position, maybe more. We looked 4 months because every time someone came through the door and we interviewed, someone on the team did not sense God saying yes. And when Karen came through and we interviewed her, everybody on the interviewing team sensed this is the one God wants. So the number one thing we're looking for in an interviewing team is this God's choice? It's not, is this person capable of doing it? Does this person have good values? Those are all important. And, you know, if they're not an honest person or we sense there's something not right there with the values, then that deselects them. But we don't make the hire until everybody on the interviewing team says this is the one God wants. So it's not just one person seeking God, it's everybody on the interviewing team. And that's an example of it.
That's very helpful.
Yeah.
So your BOA is very helpful.
The BOA is huge. And if you don't have a board of advisors, I encourage you to do so. FCCI actually has a booklet on how to do it. But again, the primary thing you want from a board of advisors is to hear from God. Mary Lee.
Almost bankruptcy, and God has rescued us. Will he make the same? I am confident that Tim will make mistakes, but God is working with Tim's life. My husband has changed over 40 years. He has changed amazingly over the brash guy that started the company in 1977 to a man who has learned to hear God. And so Tim will probably make some real doozies. I'm confident of that. And he's a great guy, and I am also absolutely confident that as he seeks the Lord in his life, God is going to come and transform him even more than he is right now, but transforming Tim's character. Because it's not, we didn't hire Tim out of our own knowledge and intellect. So that is something that we both had to recognize that, yeah, he might really have a proper, but God is in the process, because we have seen all the things in the past that God rescued us out of absolute stupidity. And, you know, I mean, absolute stupidity.
Good. Thank you, Mary Lee. Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right, because we're one. Two have become one. Don.
I think another point that Bill mentioned, which I think is very important, we've been through this and brought on this person to the table, the past CEO of the company. And the one key thing that Bill mentioned, I think it has to be embedded in all that decision making, he has a responsibility. I do not have anything more. Those decisions must come from him. But we have also a board of directors, and that's where the brains are going to turn. And we want to keep close tabs, obviously, but you can't have two people running the company.
That's right.
Or you can say, well, if there is two people, one is gone. And the person that is the best agent CEO has to make those decisions. And nobody makes perfect decisions. None of us have.
Yeah, and the way that works, carrying out very practically what Don says, we had a decision a couple weeks ago, and Tim said, this is the issue facing us. You need to go pray and ask God what he wants to do. And so we both prayed and then came back together, and Tim asked me, what'd you hear? And I told Tim what I heard, and he said, that's what I heard. So we moved forward. So the decision is in Tim's lap as a president, but we work together in seeking God's will in this, and we act as a counterpoint with each other on seeking God's will on what to do. So,
if you're hearing those multiple voices, if you're hearing voices,
there are four ways to discern when God is telling you to do something of significance. The first is you'll hear in prayer. You'll hear that voice. Secondly, he'll confirm it in Scripture. You'll be reading Scripture, and a passage will leap out like it's rimmed in neon lights. The third is there will be others that you will ask who will hear. And, you know, I don't go to friends. I don't go to a board and say, what do you think about this? I ask them, because I really don't care what they think. I ask them, what is God telling you about our situation? I want them to be a conduit from God. And then the fourth is circumstances. And all those line up. And if any one of those does not line up, don't move. And the reason that's so important is the adversary can deceive you on any one of the four, but almost impossible to deceive you on all four. Daniel. That decision-making process is pure, unadulterated laziness. The point is, build a relationship with God so that when he tells you what to do, you know he said it and you've already decided to do it. When you say, stop me if I'm wrong, you're saying, I don't care about the relationship. I'm not interested in building a relationship. I just want you to keep me out of deep trouble. And folks, that's not why Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross to enable us to have an intimate relationship with God. And so that is unadulterated laziness. And that is not biblical. Yeah, my pleasure. We could spend the next hour on that, but won't. Any other questions? Mary Lee says, time's up. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we're just grateful to have this time together. We're grateful, Father, for you selecting Tim, you telling Tim that he needed to become part of this vision we call Tetra, and then bringing him here. Thank you so much for challenging us 20 years ago to release control of the company to you. Thank you for the privilege of serving you, of walking down this road arm in arm with Tim. We're looking forward to what you're going to do next and grateful for what you have done. Father, I pray that what we've talked about today will be impactful for everybody here, that you, Holy Spirit, will have spoken through me into the hearts of everybody here, and that this will have been life-changing because of your work in their lives. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.